Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on God's will for your healing was recorded at our 2009 Dallas Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Like, for instance, in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." That's not talking about sickness, because the very next phrase says, "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." It tells you what an infirmity is. Not knowing how to pray about a situation is an infirmity. That's the scriptural use of this word. And so just not understanding the situation, not knowing exactly how to pray, is an infirmity. And you know, Jesus, when he prayed and groaned in the Spirit, that's what it's talking about in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says, "We know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit helpeth our infirmities with groanings that cannot be uttered." Jesus groaned in the Spirit in John chapter 11 when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus had an infirmity, not a sin, not a sickness, nothing like that, but his physical body had to be taught. He didn't come out of the womb speaking Hebrew. He didn't know how to walk and talk and do everything. He had to grow. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus had to grow in the natural part. Now, he was Lord at his birth, is what the angels sang. They said, "Come see the Lord Christ." He was Lord when he was born. That little tiny baby was God Almighty in the body of a human. It was a sinless human, but it was still a physical body, and it had to grow and be educated. And so in that sense, Jesus had an infirmity. He didn't, with his physical mind, know exactly how to deal with that situation with Lazarus being raised from the dead. So he groaned in the Spirit twice. And it says in Romans 8, 26, that the purpose of groaning in the Spirit is to help your infirmities, because you don't know how to pray as you ought. So Jesus groaned in the Spirit and helped his infirmity. This is the way that the word infirmity is used in the Bible. Look right here in the 1 Corinthians. It's in the first letter of the Corinthians. Paul is talking to them. Is that right, or is it 2 Corinthians here? No, it's in 2. It's just on the same page. Excuse me. In my Bible, it's on the same page. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul started talking about what his infirmities were. And so let me read some of this to you. Paul was trying to convince them of his authority, and he says, "You know what, you've indulged these other people." He says, "You ought to listen to me." He says, "Because I'm an apostle just as much as they are." And he starts listing all of the things that God has done through him. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and in verse 23, he says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool." In other words, what he's saying here is, he would never make this comparison on his own, but because they are being carnal, he's trying to reason with them carnally. He's talking like a lost man. That's what the word fool in the Bible is used to describe. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." And so he's saying, "I'm talking like a lost man would talk. This is not spiritual, but since you're carnal, I'm going to get down and reason with you carnally." He says, "I'm talking like a lost man. Are they ministers of Christ? I'm more." Paul would have never have said that on his own. But since these people were wanting some proof, he's just sitting there and arguing with them in a carnal way. He says, "I'm more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods." When you beat a person with rods, they would hang them up and take metal rods and hit the back of their calves and their ankles and break the bones. He had that happen 3 different times. "Once was I stoned." You can read about this in the book of Acts. I think it's around chapter 18. I'm not sure exactly. I'd have to look it up. But he was stoned. And if he wasn't dead, he was so close to dead that the people tried to kill him, thought he was dead, and walked off. And the disciples stood around about him, and as they prayed, he rose up and walked 20 miles into the next town and preached the next day. If he wasn't dead, he was sure close to it. So he was stoned. "Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers. in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils by the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all of the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? You know, in verse 29, when he says, who is weak? The word weak, if you look the word infirmity up in the dictionary, it means weak, is what the word literally means. Matter of fact, the NIV translated that word in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, where he says, I will glory in my infirmities. The NIV translated, I will glory in my weaknesses, because that's literally what the word means. So he says, who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. In verse 30, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. He had just told you what his infirmities were, and not a single one of those was referring to sickness. It was referring to persecution. Every one of them was talking about persecution, being shipwrecked, stoned, beaten with rods, beaten with whips, in perils in the sea, in perils, all of these things. Every one of them is talking about persecution, and he called them his infirmities. Now remember that men are the ones that put the chapter and verse divisions in this book for the purpose of reference. There's nothing wrong with it, but chapter 12 isn't a new thought. It's not a new letter. It's the same letter written by the same man, and in just a few sentences later, he says, I will glory in my infirmities, in the last part of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. In context, he's talking about, he had listed what his infirmities were, and they were persecutions, not sicknesses, and not diseases. And so this is what he's talking about. He asked the Lord to remove persecution from him because it hadn't been revealed yet, whether you could be redeemed from persecution. I am redeemed from sickness. We are all redeemed from sickness, but we are not redeemed from persecution. If the Lord would have redeemed us from persecution and just stopped all persecution, then you know what? We wouldn't have had the Apostle Paul, because he was a persecutor. He helped participate in the martyrdom of Stephen. He hailed Christians and put them in jail and consented, witnessed against them, even to their own death. If God would have just stopped all persecution, there wouldn't have been an Apostle Paul. We wouldn't have had half of the books that we have in the New Testament. The Lord redeemed us from sickness, but he has not redeemed us from persecution. And Paul at this time, he was standing so strong in the Lord that he was even trying to get rid of this demonic messenger that just stirred up persecution against him. And the Lord said, no, I'm not going to do that. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength will be made perfect in weakness. And once Paul understood that, he quit praying about it, and he understood that God was glorified when we suffer and when we persecute. Are persecuted. You know, I don't want to get off the subject, but let me just put in a little P.S. here that, you know what, we are in a very real sense moving out of being a Christian nation into a post-Christian nation. I don't take any pleasure in saying that, but it's happening. And, you know, just recently I taught on Christian philosophy, if those of you saw that on television, and I was teaching against homosexuality and abortion and things like this. And in the U.K., the government regulating committee in the UK called up the television stations and made them pull my programs because it's against the law in the UK to say that abortion is murder. And so they pulled my programs. It's against the law to speak against homosexuals. And man, it caused no small stir, and we got in trouble. And there was some debate whether we could even get into the UK for our ministers' conference that we held a few weeks ago. But because we have offices over there, they let us in. But anyway, in the UK, it's real. It's happening. And the man who runs that television station came to our ministers' conference and talked about, man, how that they are constantly on his case. And like when I was on television, on the God Channel, they used to be located inside of the UK. They since have moved to Israel because Israel places no restrictions on what you can say as a Christian. But the UK, a quote-unquote Christian nation, has all of these laws, and they restricted it so that I couldn't say. It's against the law in the UK to say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's against the law to say that. You can say the Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, but you can't present it as if it's truth and it's authority. And I would put albums up there. One time I said something about spanking your children and they bleeped it out as if it's profanity. It's against the law in the UK to do that. And we look and think, well, how could that be? You know, even a lot of Ashley and Carly over here, a lot of the people from the UK didn't know that these things were true. But when I was broadcasting in the UK, these are the rules and the restrictions. And they fined God TV £25,000 one time because I think it was Jesse Duplantis or one of these guys said something against homosexuality and it got past the censors and they fined them £25,000, which is around $50,000 every time you say anything against homosexuality, abortion, anytime you voice anything about morality from the Bible. And we look at that and think, how terrible. Did you know that just last week or week before, recently within the last couple of weeks, they passed a defense spending bill here in the United States, $186 billion, I think it was billion-dollar defense spending bill that was necessary, and the Democrats tacked onto it the Fairness Doctrine amendment, and it went through, and now the precedent has been set in the United States for the exact same thing to happen. They keep saying, oh, it'll never happen, nobody will ever enforce it that way, but now they have this thing that you can't speak against any segment. Now, you could speak against Christians. You could say that Christians are bigots, and you could say any of that, but you couldn't say anything against anybody else, or they're going to censor you. So anyway, my point in bringing all of that up is, people think that persecution, you know, has always been somewhere else. I tell you what, we are in a situation right now. I just had a staff member send me an article that was written by a homosexual magazine in Colorado Springs yesterday. And it's all about a Bible thumping and Womacks are coming to Woodland Park and they got the mayor involved and they interviewed him and talked about how we're hating homosexuals and they're starting a campaign against us. You know what? They can criticize us, but we can't criticize them. So anyway, my point is that, you know what? Persecution is something that you cannot be redeemed from. And I actually believe that somebody is probably going to have to be censored, fined, put in prison to wake up people and to get the people here in the United States motivated to do something about it. I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't happen.
This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Dallas Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a five-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM239 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep gospel truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today. So